Well, glory. Hallelujah. Glory's good. Father, we thank you for your glory. You know, if you missed it, you need to go back and listen to John's two messages. As you notice, glory is all around here. And he pretty well defined what glory means. It's relationship. Just remember, every time we use glory today, you think of the chair in the middle around the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said in John 17, I'll just read that one little place there, where he said in John 17, he said, so Father, restore me back to the glory, the relationship that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. And he says, I pray that same glory that you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. That's why it's so important. Like John said, we all know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That was the second verse I heard in my life when I became a Christian. The first one, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I said, boy, I get that witness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? Sinning wasn't a problem, like John said. It's the glory. Yeah. And since that day, I have been searching and looking at glory and trying to pin it down. And that was as good a definition as you're going to get right there. The relationship with the Father and the Son. And that's what God wanted for us from the foundation of the world. That's why he made us, to have fellowship with him. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his dear Son. That's what he wants, the fellowship, the relationship, the koinonia fellowship with his Son. We're going to look at some more glory. I've had it on my mind ever since John stirred this back up. And that's been a subject that I've looked into so many times. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 1 says, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord from the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshadak, the high priest, and the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in its first glory? It's what? First glory. And how do you see it now? It is not in your eyes in comparison as nothing? But we don't look at the things that's seen, but we look at the things that's not seen. For the things that's seen are temporal, but the things that's not seen are eternal. Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the son of Joshadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, and I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once more, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. I believe there's a whole lot of shaking going on. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, about 21, it says that he's going to shake all things that can be shaken. The things that are made, so that which cannot be shaken will remain. That's the eternal. All that can be shaken is going to be shaken. We even sing it today. Whole lot of shaking going on. But that which cannot be shaken, and you know, even that song, though we're being shaken, hey, we're in union with that that can't be shaken. Yes. Yes. Oh, let the shaking go. Amen. And we see that. He says, the desire of all nations shall come. Now, when I studied what I did years ago on glory and preached it, my conclusion at that point was, which it doesn't disagree with him, it just confirms it, that the glory is Christ. Amen. And without Christ, there is no relationship. Amen. They're one and the same. Christ and the relationship. All he did is what brought us into the relationship we have with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the desire of all nations shall come, which is Christ. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord. Howbeit the Most High doesn't dwell in temples made with what? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. And that's where God and Jesus said that I will come. I'm going to send you another comforter. He's going to come. He's just like me, and he's going to come. And the Father and me and the Holy Spirit, he's been with you, but he's going to be in you. And you're going to be in union in a relationship with us that's eternal, that will never be separated. And saints, we're there. It's not pie in the sky someday. He's put us in union with him. And that's the glory, yes. He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his kingdom and peace, Isaiah says, there is no end to it. Ever increasing, ever increasing. More peace, more peace. I counseled a guy yesterday. He's going through a lot of stuff with one of the team members. And guess what scripture I gave him? He said, I need direction. Well, I'll tell you where to get it. You go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hand. So put yourself in the situation you're in, the situation you don't want to be in. See which one has peace. And follow your peace. Follow peace, it says, with all men, and holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Follow peace. The way of peace, Jesus says in Isaiah, they know not. You cannot know peace in the old man. Peace is a product of the exchange life. It's a fruit of the exchange life. It's peace, because it's Jesus is our peace. Okay. All right. See if there's anything else I want to get out of there. Okay. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord. Hebrews. Let's look at that Hebrews 12. I want to look at Hebrews. I'm not going to get in a hurry on this, because if John can go 6 weeks with one, I can go a little longer too. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's see here. Verse 24 says, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the blood sprinkling that speaks of better things than Abel, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this word, yes, once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken. Of what? A removing. Things are being shaken to be removed. As the things that are made. See that? It's temporal. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. So what's the key thing? Let us have grace. Let us have what? Grace. What did the scripture say? Say unto this mountain, grace, grace. Let's have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So let us have what? Grace. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Said, we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of that fullness have we all received grace in exchange for grace, is that word. He gives you grace, then he exchanges it for a little more grace. And there's no end to that exchange of grace upon grace and grace upon grace. In Isaiah chapter 40, when he's talking about sending John the Baptist, he says here, Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people, says the Lord your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. Did you know, Jesus, what God said? Your sins and iniquities will I remember No more. What's no more mean? No more. And she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. All flesh saw it that day. They saw the glory right there. That was John the Baptist setting it up for Jesus to prepare the way. And it says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That means the cover is going to be lifted off. The veil is going to be lifted off, and they're going to see. And what are they going to see? They'll see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and the goodliness thereof as a flower of the field. What is that saying? That's saying under the old covenant, everything from the days of John the Baptist to now, the kingdom suffers violent, and the flesh took it by force. But no more. Now the flesh faileth, and the flower fades. But now it's your Father's good pleasure to give it to you, which were born, John chapter 1, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but of God. It's yours. And he says, the goodness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Oh, come on now. Surely the people of grass, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bring good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem that brings good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities, behold your God. There is your message. Behold your God. Woo! Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand and will rule. Who hath believed our report? Amen? Who hath believed our report? And it talks about who will believe the arm of the Lord. See, Jesus is sitting right now in the right hand of the Father with authority. And he says his works with him, and he says his reward is with him and his works before him. Amen. He'll feed his flocks like a shepherd, and shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Does that speak of relationship? Does it? Isaiah 66, I think, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted in Zion. O Zion, that's symbolic of the church. Zion is symbolic of the church. You know, in Isaiah, now let's see, yeah. I got this down on the wise. It says, Isaiah 32:17 says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quiet and assurance, and my people will dwell in a peaceable habitation in quiet resting places. When the hail and the storm comes, no problem. It won't affect you. Amen? And it says in 1 Peter, when you see all these things begin to happen, the elements melting with the fervent heat and everything going on around you, be found in peace. Can you do that within yourself? I don't think so. Be found in peace without spot or blemish. Be ready in that day. See, that's that thing you're talking about. Don't fear nothing. God didn't give us what? Spirit of fear. But a power of love and a sound mind. 366 times in the Bible does it say, fear not. That's one for every day of the year and one for leap year. Fear not. For I have redeemed you, I've called you by my name, thou art mine. So when you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. Through the waters, they'll not overflow you. For I am the Lord your God. Woo! See, that's what's so awesome. We are right in the middle of that union right now. It's not someday. It's right now. And we look at that in Hebrews chapter 1. Getting my pages all messed up here. My tabs are grabbing my Bible. Okay. Verse 1, chapter Hebrews chapter 1, 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, so we in the last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. Who made the worlds? His Son. Who being in the brightness of his glory. Golly. Jesus is in the brightness of his glory. And the expressed image of his person, upholding all things by his word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Being made so much better than the angels, he has obtained a more excellent name than they. Chapter 2 over here. Verse 8 says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he has put all things in subjection, he left nothing, say nothing, that's not under his feet. But now, we don't see it all that way now, he says. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. Woo! For it became him from whom all things are by whom things, in bringing many sons into glory. What? Into glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Woo, with joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I praise you. And I will put my trust. Now look at here. And behold, I and the children which God hath given me. You know what that is in Isaiah? I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. For what? Why are we here? Signs and wonders. Whoo! And the glory he's given him, he's given us that we may be one. You know, as I was looking over this, I was telling John before this, it just hit me. In Romans chapter 8, it says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation is waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Says the suffering is working an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at those things that seem, but the things that's not seen. And if you see that, he's saying that whatever's going on in you is working an eternal weight of glory. And it says he made Christ, what did he say, through the things he suffered. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. And as you look at that, and I was telling John, it just hit me. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. 2 Corinthians, I may want to start in 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I got my computer up here for some reason. So far, I just don't remember what for. Yeah, I know why now. It's easier for me to turn the computer on than it is to turn these pages. 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, boy, where do I start? I'm going to do something else. Can I do something else? I told John I was just going to wing it today. Here in the Passion Bible, Chapter 3, I want to read this to you. Verse 1, are we beginning to sound like those who speak highly of themselves? Do you really need letters of recommendation to validate our ministry? Do you really need your letters of endorsement? Of course not. For your very lives are our letters of recommendation, permanently engraved on our hearts, recognized and read by everyone. As a result of our ministry, you are living letters written by Christ. What are you? Living letters written by Christ. And he says, not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not carved on stone tablets, but tablets in the heart. We carry this confidence in our hearts because of our union with Christ before God. Yet, we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength, for our true confidence flows from our God's empowering presence. Flows from what? God's empowering presence. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on entirely a new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours life. Even the ministry that was characterized and chiseled on letters of stone tablets came with a dazzling measure of glory. Did you hear me? That first covenant, even engraved in stones, had a dazzling measure of glory. Why? Moses had to put his veil over his face because the children couldn't look upon the glory that was on. And it says, let's read on. The Israelites couldn't bear the gaze of glowing face of Moses because of the radiant splendor shining from his countenance. A glory destined to fade away. The glory of the old has faded away. Yet how much more radiant is this new glorious ministry of the Spirit that shines from us? For it is a former ministry of if the former ministry of condemnation was ushered in a measure of glory, how much more does a ministry that imparts righteousness far excel in glory? What once was glorious no longer holds any glory because of the increasing greater glory that has replaced it. The fading ministry came with a portion of glory, but now we embrace the unfading ministry of a permanent impartation of glory. How much? Permanent. It's not going to fade. So then, with the amazing hope of living in us, we step out into freedom and boldness to speak the truth. We are not like Moses, who used a veil to hide the glory to keep Israel from staring at him as it faded away. Their minds were closed and hardened. For even to this day, the same veil comes over the minds when they hear the words of the former covenant. Mixture will bring a veil. The veil had not yet been lifted from them. For it's only eliminated when one is joined in union to the Messiah. So until now, wherever the Old Testament is being read, the same blinding comes over their hearts. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and you see. Now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that it says the Lord is the Holy Spirit? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. But in this verse, when it says Lord, it says the Holy Spirit. And it says, and wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into this very same image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. Now, I want you to meditate on that just a second. I was telling John, you know, this is why 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being exchanged into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, this relationship of glory we have, from glory into glory, you can't handle it all at once. There's no way. The Holy Spirit is the one that's in charge of bringing you from one degree of that relationship and that presence to the next, little by little. It's a process of not change. It's a process of you growing up into the full glory. Listen, remember the mystery that Paul spoke of that's been hidden from the foundation of the world, but he made manifest to make the Jew and the Gentiles one? And he says, Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. And so that you see that from one level to another. And let me go on down here to verse 8, chapter 18. You rascal. Computers have a mind of their own. This word being changed or being changed are exchanged into the same image. And as you look at that word, there was something I wanted to look at. I think it's this one. We're changed from one degree to another. where Jesus was transformed. See that word transformed, metamorphosis? Can you see the picture now? Say, we are babies and we're being exchanged from glory to glory. That is a process of growing up in that relationship. And it's never ending. And that's why Romans 8 says that God's purpose that we be conformed to the image of his dear son. The Holy Spirit's job is in that process of transforming us from glory into glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. His job is to make his body like himself. And that relationship only gets deeper as you grow and the Holy Spirit begins to you reflect to you the glory. You're being exchanged into that same image. And you know, you see that in 2 Corinthians 3, and we're reading here. Says, even the ministry that's characterized by chisel letters on stone tablets came a dazzling measure of glory through it, though it produced death. The Israelites could not bear to gaze on the glowing face of Moses. And then as you see that, and he put that over their faces, and we're being transfigured. And then you move into chapter 4. Look here with me. Now, it's because of God's mercy that we have been entrusted with the privilege of this new covenant. And we will not quit or faint with weariness. We reject every shameful cover-up, refuse to resort to his trickery, distorting of the word. Since we open our souls to you by presenting the truth to everyone's conscience in the sight and the presence of God. Now, even if our gospel message is veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing. For the minds have been blinded by the God of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Now see, this chapter just follows what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. Okay? So the devil hates glory. You know, in Isaiah 59, it says they are going to fear your glory from the rising of the sun going down. They're going to fear you. The enemy fears the glory. The devil hates the glory. So he blinds your mind so you can't see the light of the glory gospel. What is it? Glorious. It really means glory gospel. What is the good news? It's a glory gospel. If you've fallen short of something and you got it back, you got the glory. It's God's perfect picture he had from us for us before the foundation of the world, that we would be in fellowship and relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But look at the God of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the day spring light, the light of the wonderful news of the glory of Jesus Christ. You see that? It's the glory. Who is the divine image of God. We don't preach ourselves, rather the lordship of Jesus, for we are his servants for Jesus' sake and God's. Let brilliant light shine out of darkness. Okay. Let the brilliant light shine out of darkness is the one who has cascaded his light into us. Where? Into us. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. We beholding as in a mirror the face are being exchanged into that same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, from glory into glory. One degree of glory into the next. Hebrews 2 says, we see Jesus crowned with glory, 2:9, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every man. Taste death for how many? Every man. Says when Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in pain until Christ be formed in you. Who's he referring to? The Holy Spirit doing his work and letting Christ be formed in you. So you got to let that happen. And that's why I said in Romans 8, it says, we have been predestined to be conformed into the very image of Christ. That's what God predestined or predetermined, that every one of us would be into his image. God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. Now, catch this. Let me read in King James. It might be more familiar. We beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image by the Spirit of the Lord. This word transformed is the same one that when Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's the same one. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God has shined in their hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory. Remember what he says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the light of the glory of God. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Catch that? What did Jesus say? Face to face. For our light, now let me go on down. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction. Now, what did we say a while ago? I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then he said in verse 17, for our light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Eternal weight of glory. You know, in Psalms 24, I wanted to read that in, I want to read this in the Passion. You know, this subject is just overwhelming. There's so much to it. Psalms 24. God claims the world as his own. Everything and everyone belongs to him. He is the one who pushed back oceans. He let the dry ground appear, planting firm foundations for the earth. Who then ascends into the presence of the Lord? Who ascends into the presence of the Lord? And who has the privilege of entering into God's holy place? Those who are clean, whose works and ways are pure, whose hearts are true and sealed by truth. Those who have never deceived, whose words are sure. You know, that's what's so awesome, is we are seated with him already because of the new covenant in heavenly places. It says, they will receive the Lord's blessings and righteousness given by the Savior God. They will stand before God. Where are you now? You're seated with him in the very presence of God. See, that's what this whole thing's about. They will stand before God. They will seek the pleasure of God's face. They will what? Seek the pleasure of God's face, God of Jacob. So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your head, you ageless doors of destiny. Say, that's me. Welcome the King of Glory. What is he? The King of Glory. For he is about to come through you. You ask, who is this King, Glory King? The Lord armed and ready for battle. The Mighty One, invincible in every way. He's the King of Glory. Woo, I got goosebumps. Wow. You know, I'm convinced if we just read the book of Revelations, it's not as he was, it's as he is.
Yes, that's right.
The book of Revelation gives you a real living description of who Jesus is now. As he is. You want to know who you are and what you're like? Read the book of Revelations.
Right.
1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we now. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have, amen, I have the keys of death and hell. He ain't giving them up.
That's right. Amen.
It says, so wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Wake up. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is the King of Glory? He is the Lord of victory, armed and ready for battle. That's who you are. What do you got to fear? The Mighty One, the invincible commander of heaven's host. Yes, he's the King of Glory. And that King of Glory is living inside of every one of you. You're in union with the King of Glory. And you are ever being conformed more and more into that perfect image as by the Spirit of the Lord. Ah, man. You know, I was thinking about Stephen in the book of Acts, and I'll start here next time. But in the book of Acts, about chapter 5, you know, it's amazing Where am I at? Was I thinking about that? Oh yeah, chapter 6. When there's Stephen, they stirred up people against Stephen because he was doing great mighty wonders and signs and miracles, it says. And it stirred the people up and the elders and the scribes and came to him and caught him, brought him to the council and set false witnesses against him. It says, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. Does that sound familiar, John? For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change. Ooh, do what? Change the customs of Moses that Moses delivered to us. I think Jesus did change. I think he did change. And all that sat in council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. There they were ready to kill him. And there he was sitting as his face was as the face of an angel. And then he began to preach to them. And the more he preached, the madder they got. And then it says, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers do, so do you. And he says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and they've slain and showed before the coming of the just one, whom you now betray and murdered, who have received the law by dispensation of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heavens and saw the glory of God. What did he see? First thing he saw was the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father of glory. Ooh, glory. That's what he saw. He saw the glory of God, the first thing. And he said, behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coat at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He didn't die. He fell asleep. He saw the glory of God. And they saw the glory of God on him. You are our epistles known and read of all men. And it's the glory of God. And we are being constantly exchanged into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see why it's so important? You know, what did he say? You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart, you resist the Holy Ghost. How much of the body of Christ today really resists the Holy Ghost? Pretty good percentage. We don't mind him showing up, but he better not bring any of his gifts with him. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. See, apart from the Holy Spirit, you can never know what abundant life is and have it more abundant. You can never know what it's like to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Not here. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, he's the one that brings in the glory. He's the one that produces it in us. And as we work with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to do his work in us, we're being transformed into the very image of his son. And God predestined us, to be conformed to the image of his dear son. And I remember Bob Mumford said one time, he says, every one of us are going to be, when we come before his presence, he used the word judged, but I don't know if he meant the word judged. There is a throne of that we're going to be judged. To the degree that we allowed the Holy Spirit to conform us into the image of his dear son. Your position. You know, every man's works will be made manifest because it'll be declared by fire of what sort it is. And if it's right, you'll be given a reward. And if it's not, your works will burn up, but you'll be saved yet as by fire. It's not a matter of going to hell. Get that out of your mind. You're in union. But it's a matter of you being conformed. He said, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, I will make him ruler over cities. See, in a 1,000-year reign, there's going to be people set in places all over. I got a feeling it may be determined by how much you conform to the image of his dear son. It's not about your works. It's about who you become in him. How much you allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life into his very image. But he that overcometh and keepeth my works, he said, I will make rulers, and I'll give him the morning star. The what? It's interesting. I don't know if I can find it. I was going to close a while ago. I'm working at it, Mama. Oh, I found it. Numbers chapter 24. Okay. This is Balaam's prophecy. This is where Balak and the donkey spoke. Says verse 14, and behold, I go to my people and come therefore. Says, see what this people shall do to the people in the latter days. And he took up the parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor, he said unto them, man whose eyes are open, he said, he has said, which heard the word of God and knew knowledge of the Most High, which saw a vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having eyes open. I see him, but now, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A sceptre shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Seth. A what? A star will come out of Jacob? When did the wise men come from the east? Said, we have seen his what? His star. He's the star. He's the morning star. See, the prophetic line is all there. And it's going to come out of who? Jacob, which was Israel. You know, why couldn't we have seen this years ago? It's time. Okay. Okay. I'm looking for something. Oh, yeah. Romans chapter 11, verse 26:5 says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, who shall turn away all ungodliness from Jacob. All ungodliness from who? Jacob. That's what Jesus came to do. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins. Woo, hold my mule. All right, we'll pick up there later. Let's stand with me. Now, what did you say? Well, what did I get out of this? Well, you're in relationship in the chairs. You're right in the middle. And the Holy Spirit's job is, as you look around those three chairs, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, it being exchanged into the very image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so you're growing every day. You're growing more and more into that fuller image. Well, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord is making his face to shine upon you with his glory and giving you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are dismissed.